Yeah, let me know when you can hear me say this.
Duh, what? You're good.
I think we got a delay or something going on. It's like all your responses are mad late.
Oh, well. All right, I'm doing it on purpose now.
You're doing it on purpose for real?
Last time I was here.
There you at, nigga. Your shit delayed like a woman.
Oh, it still sounds delayed? My bad.
Yeah. Your response is the latest shit.
Here. I'm gonna hang up and I'm gonna call y'all right back.
All right.
NappyAfro.com.
What's good, people? It's your favorite weekly podcast. It's the Frocast with your man Saul Wright, kicking in NappyAfro.com. I'm your host, aka Who Gives a Fuck. We're running a little light today. The ship's a little light, so we're back to the original Wolfpack when it started. The duo that kept it going when we had someone taking a vacation on us. It's my man King Germ. Say what's up, Germ.
What's going on, man? It's your boy King Germ, man, a.k.a. I got the team on my back, though.
This nigga has still not missed the Frocast. So,
Well, yes, I missed one. I missed the first Tracy May one, and I wasn't on the robot one. But other than that, man, I've been on all of them, man.
You did miss the first one that I did. You know what I'm saying? You know,
the original. I forgot, yeah. Yeah, okay. So, yeah.
That's it. But you still got more than me and B-Eazy got in here, collective, so... That's what's up. Shout out to Be Easy, who couldn't be with us tonight. He's planking on the fat bitch. And we tried to get Dub in here, but we had some technical difficulties. So it's just the duo.
Yep.
So we're going to kick right into the show, man. We're going to go ahead and start talking about this fucking NBA playoffs. I don't really know how I feel about them just yet. You know, my Heat are running it, but I can already see the excuses starting. You know, on top of the shortened season, we got, you know, Derrick Rose hurting and Amari Stoudemire stupid ass busting his hand all open. So the path is getting easier. So I'm sure they're saying the fix is in. And shout out to the refs who made a lot of shitty calls. What say you, bro?
Well, man, first of all, man, people talking about the fix is in. Let's just be honest, man. The Heat are a way better team than the Knicks are.
That's true.
So for anybody to say the reason, no. Let's just keep it 100. The Heat are a better team. And so people say the refs cannot fix a game to the effect that it wouldn't be noticeable. And, you know, just little calls. There's bad calls in every game. There's at least 10 bad calls in every game. So that just happens. But let's be honest. The Heat, they're on a mission this year. The shortened season, which I love. I mean, I actually think a 66-game season is better. It had a little more excitement, sense of urgency, I believe. And, you know, it just went 82 games where it just, you know, it just seemed like it was too much. But now, you know, I feel like I like it. I mean, you know, did I watch a lot of it? No, I watched a lot of highlights, but it did become my schedule. But I enjoyed the 66 games, man. I liked it. And as far as the playoffs, I really think the Heat, they got it. Because they went there last year, like I always say, with a depleted team. And now they play together a year, so they're a little bit better. And, you know, they almost won it last year. But I think the West playoffs is going to be real good because I think it's going to be a lot of things going on. Just like we saw the other night with the Memphis and Clipper game.
Oh, my God.
Did you watch that?
I turned to it once Twitter started blowing up. Once people started talking about what the hell is going on, I tuned in and said, God damn.
Because, I mean, I was watching it on the – because I was just like, oh, my God, it's about to be Beam footage because I'm sitting there looking like, oh, man, Memphis beating them out. I was seeing them by like 40. I thought it was going to be a blowout, so I was going to watch just for the blowout purpose. And all of a sudden, shots start falling. On the other side, shots stop falling. And then they – Clippers just kept wearing them down. They took that lead. I was just like, oh, my goodness, man. That was pretty awesome, man. I loved it. Let's play our basketball for you, man.
That's what it is, man. It looks good. I personally think that if the Lakers make it out of the first round without Ron Artest, it'll be the Lakers playing the Heat. Mm. That's what I think. I think OKC is good, but I don't know. I'm just not sold on them young boys yet.
OKC, they got to get by Dallas.
Right, they still got to get by Dallas, and then they'll eventually probably have to get by who? The Spurs, I think they'll be next.
Yeah, then they got the Spurs next. The Lakers got a good draw because they get the winner of the
They get the Clippers joined, don't they?
Yeah, they get the Clippers Memphis Grizzly winner. So that's pretty cool with the Lakers. And so, you know, they lucked out on the draw this time around.
It's a good one. I still don't understand what's going on with Amari punching this fire extinguisher. Like,
I mean, was he upset? He did it at halftime or something, correct?
I think it was after the game because he played. I think it was after the game on the way, you know, to the locker room after that L. He lost his mind and punched the fire extinguisher, busted his hand open, and they're saying that he's probably done for this, at least this series.
Oh, my gosh.
So now you lose offense.
Let's be honest. They wasn't going to make it out of the series anyway. So maybe what he did was he checked out early. I mean, you know Amari Stoudemire, he's not the toughest play, a more physical play. I mean, he played, you know, he loves to dunk and dunk hard, but on the defensive end, he's a ghost. Yep. And so, they're playing, he's not that type of dude. And then he playing the Heat, and the Heat just going to steamroll him. This should have been a 5-game series. First round should always be 5 games because why make a team stick around for 7? I really hate that. NBA, please go back to first round 5 games.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that would just make it even better.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But yeah, he punched a glass case.
So this stupid ass. I mean,
yeah, A, you dumb motherfucker. Shout out to T510 for that one.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, look at you shouting out that site. Yeah, it's just, you know, at some point you got to look at your squad, and I think the Knicks should have did this when they had a better chance and make some moves. And I didn't think that Amari going to New York really meant anything anyway. And then once they added Carmelo, I was like, okay, but still. I mean, Melo scores, but what did he do in Denver?
I mean, Melo's a scorer. I mean, yeah, exactly. He is a pure scorer. And, I mean, that's just what he does. And, I mean, he needs more pieces. They need another – they got Shumpert. He's a good point guard, but he's out. You know, he plays good defense. But it's just something about New York, man. I think it's just too much pressure to have them be – for that city to produce a good basketball team that I just don't understand. I mean, they haven't won a title since, what, like, 72? Yeah. And, I mean, you know, and it's just – I don't know. I think it's the pressure in New York. I think everybody goes there and fails.
Yeah, I think
it's just,
so.
You know, not too many people. It's just, I mean, it's too much pressure. I mean, because the media attention, the spotlight, I think it's just a little too much. And I think that's just what it makes everybody crumble.
And as cliche as it sounds, their best teams were when they had a group of well-rounded players, not the superstars, but when they had Starks and Ewing and Bonner and, dude, and Oakley, and they had cats that could just play. Mason. Oh, when they had cats, even when the newer Knicks, when they had Allen Houston and Sprewell, when they have cats that can do both sides of the ball, man, and not worry about that limelight shit, they're a better team. And I think that goes for most teams, to be honest.
Yeah, but I guess in New York, they were just a gritty, grimy team. Scores was in the 70s. They played defense. Wasn't that pretty about them, man. They just beat you up. But, yeah, but, you know, Carmelo, you know, his wife is a socialite and all that. He's living that life, man. So, you know, who knows,
You
man.
Think they're going to break him up next season?
I mean, I give him one more year. They got to give Mike Woodson a chance. He's coaching the team. They, you know, they're responding for him. Give him a shot next season. If it don't work, then blow it up, man. Either add some good pieces or blow it up, because you're gonna need somebody to play defense eventually. Tyson Chandler, he's all right, but you're gonna need somebody else to play defense there.
Yeah, Tyson, but I think that's the problem, is that he's the only one playing defense.
Exactly.
Him and Shumpert are the only cats really playing defense. So I don't know, you know. Exactly. Good luck, New York. And you're about to be the second team of New York because the Nets are officially moving next season, right? They kick off in Brooklyn.
Oh, my goodness.
The Brooklyn Nets. You seen the logo?
Looks very bland.
That shit generic as fuck, yo. And what's with that shield? Ain't that the same shield that the Nets had before and the shield that the Oklahoma City Thunder has? Isn't it the same shape?
Oh, man. I didn't look that deep, and I just saw how bland it was, and I was just like, oh, I guess Be Easy went cop tears early. I was like, he's getting it.
Yeah, this shit is horrible. Like, the first T-shirt I saw says Brooklyn, and it's got the sneakers hanging off the words like the electric wire. I just, you know, yeah. This shit is going real hood real quick.
I mean, it just looks so just bland, black and white, and I mean, I don't know.
And they could, I guess they could try and run that, like the Heat's blacked out uniforms, but I don't know if that shit going to get old.
Did you say the Heat's?
The Heat's blacked out uniform. Oh. Yeah, like ownership. Put the apostrophe on that bitch.
Okay. I just heard a dude say that on Facebook one day. He said, man, ain't nobody going to beat the Heat's. Oh. And he just, you know, and it was just so funny, man. We just started laughing, man, the Heat's. And so that's whenever I type that, man, I always put the Heat's. But it's just
the Heat's and the fish.
Yes, the Heat's and the fish.
So we both picking the Heat. Who you got coming out the West?
Well, I got the West. See, this is my thing. I'm pulling for the Heat. I pull for Kobe no matter what. So Kobe is my pick to win. But if Kobe get eliminated, then I'm pulling for the Heat.
Damn.
So if it come down to the Lakers and the Heat, give me the Lakers. But if it come down to the Heat and anybody else, give me the Heat.
What do you think would be the best matchup to watch?
Best matchup would probably be the Heat and the Lakers. That'd be a good matchup.
Have you seen the games that the Thunder and the Heat have played this season, though?
Yes.
And you still think the Lakers would be a better matchup? I mean, to watch anyway?
The Thunder, man, they're a young team. You can get them out of their game, man. I mean, it'd be some good matchups, but I just I don't know, man. I'm biased, man. Kobe Bryant. I understand.
I think the Thunder really do have talent. I just think they're too young, and I'm just not sold. They really brought it to the Heat this season.
Yeah, I think it's a match. It's a process with them. Every team goes through it. They're going to be champions one day. They're going to be champions. And if not, next season, the season after that. But they're going to be champions soon. And so this is just all part of them being, you know, going down that road to get that title.
I think it's pretty scary if the Heat end up winning this year. I think we're starting something. LeBron is playing out of his mind. He's been playing out of his mind all season. I don't think he can keep that up. But at some point, you got to get somebody else to help. At some point.
I mean, Dwayne Wade is always there. You know, that's the thing you got to understand. He still got D-Wade on the side. No matter how much LeBron can take over a game, he still has Dwayne Wade right there. And that's another 25 nigga that you got to worry about exploding on your ass. Pause. And that's just, you know, so that's the good thing about the Heat, man. I mean, that's why I like watching them play. Man, it's good TV. I mean, you know, because so many, it's a polarizing team. You either hate them or you like them. You know, there's nobody that doesn't have an opinion on the Heat.
This is true. I guess the thing that concerns me the most is that out of that whole, 15 men on the roster, the three of them, the big three, James, Wade, and Bosh, are the only ones with double digits in points. LeBron is leading the team in points, rebounds, assists, steals, and he's like in the top three in blocks. So the rest of the motherfuckers there, Chalmers, Cole, Miller, Haslam, Battier, James Jones, Turioff, late season edition, Joel Anthony, Eddie Curry, who I don't know if we should even really consider him, but all these motherfuckers on the team ain't even earning their check. They just filling out the roster.
Hey, man, sometimes you just got to be happy to be there, man.
Yeah, but that's not how you win championships.
Hey, Michael Jordan won a championship with a bunch of bums on his bench, man. Let's remember
that. Because he was Jesus and he had disciples. There's a difference.
Okay. I mean, LeBron could be the second coming.
Hey, you said it and I didn't have to.
I said he could.
I understand. See that word, could? You said it and I didn't have to. Uh-huh. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I mean, you know.
I mean,
that's not front. That's not front like he's not the chosen one.
He already has more double doubles than your boy Kobe. I'm just saying.
I mean, LeBron's a different. He plays a different position.
I'm just saying. I mean, you could still get a double double. I didn't say what their stats were in, and Kobe could get a double in something else. You know.
Has LeBron scored 50 in a game?
Don't believe so. He hasn't scored 81 either.
Oh, he has scored. Okay, exactly. Holler at me when he scored 81.
Wait, unfortunately, there's
what,
more.
I don't care what he does in his career.
Unfortunately, there's more to the game than just putting up points. That's all I'm saying.
Nah, man. 81, son. When you score 81, that's when you're in the class. Only two people score more than 80 points. Kobe, one of them.
Hey, I agree. Kobe is one of the best scorers to ever play the game. Scorers.
Players.
I give you that. I just think LeBron's a more complete player. But that's me.
Complete player? Complete player or better player? Let's which one
I
you want?
I think if you're more complete, you're better.
I don't believe that.
How's that not possible?
I don't believe that. Because you have like Scottie Pippen was a more complete player than Jordan, but he wasn't better than Jordan.
I don't think Scottie Pippen was a more complete player than Jordan. Jordan did everything.
I mean, okay, no, a bad example. Clyde Drexler.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm like, who are you comparing him to? I think if you're complete, you end up being better.
It's like, you know, complete. Complete means you do everything good, but you know what I mean.
That's exactly my point, though. If you do everything well, instead of excelling in one area and the other ones suck, I think you're better.
Okay.
So, the playoffs, you know, is set. We're gonna still be watching it. We'll be talking about it again next week and see what's cracking. But we're both pulling for it. Well, I'm pulling for the Heat. Germ is pulling for the Heat if the Lakers ain't in there. So we'll see what happens. Exactly. B-Eazy, I don't think B-Eazy really gives a shit. And I think Dub knows the Heat are expected to win, but he's not a Heat fan at all. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let us know your comments at the end of the Frocast. Let us know who y'all think gonna win. We got a few sports articles, so y'all should be checking those out as well.
Exactly.
Big week in sports. We got to talk about the NFL draft. Finally happened, thank God. That was the longest build up to a fucking draft in at least the past 5 years.
I mean, it's like that every year, especially when there's a big time prospect. You know, they really dragging it to the ground, man. The coach played the hand early and told who they were drafting like 2 months ago. And, you know, so it was just like the suspense wasn't there.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, it was crazy. But, you know, I'm glad it's over. It was a pretty good draft. I mean, you know, there was a lot of good players, not a lot of big names. You know, so, you know, that was one good thing about the draft this year.
Yeah, I think this will be – I said this to somebody else. This is probably the deepest draft of solid, mediocre talent that I've seen in a long time. And I don't mean mediocre in a bad way. I mean all of them seem to pretty much be on the same level. There's not a lot of disparity between anybody that you pick.
Exactly, man. You know, and they're just like I'm happy my team did pretty well. You know, had one of the – you know, better drafts, I
remind
believe.
You people who your team is.
I'm a Philadelphia Eagle fan. You know, no, I'm not from Philly, but I love the Eagles.
Eagles fan before Michael Vick got there, right?
I was an Eagle. Kendall Cunningham was a quarterback back in like 89, 90. That's when I started liking him. I'm an old fool. You know, not a coon, but you know. So we had a good draft. You know, we addressed some needs. We had an article on Nappy Afro that, you know, I didn't agree with, but, you know, shout out to Clay Davis. You know, he didn't mention my Eagles as having a good draft, but we did. He did mention St. Louis, who is a, you know, I think you're a St. Louis Rams
fan. Of course,
fan,
aren't you? Absolutely.
So, and how you feel about your draft?
I'm conflicted. I think that we did what we had to do. We addressed the needs that we had, but we didn't do so with the right talent, I don't believe. I think Brockers was somebody we needed. I guess we needed a defensive tackle, but I would have rather picked up a free agent or something instead of using that pick that high. First of all, I'm not happy that we traded that fucking far down. I don't like it. Okay. I understand we got two more first-round picks and a second-round pick and a third-round pick. I understand all of that. But we went from second to 14th. We missed out on Claiborne. We missed out on I can't think of the receiver's name from Oklahoma State now. Blackman. We missed out on there was somebody else I wanted early in T. Richardson. We missed out on Trent Richardson. We missed out on all those picks. So then we traded down to 14, and then we pick a defensive tackle again, which would be the sixth time in the last 10 years we spent a first round pick on the defensive line. But then we went from there and we picked up a 1AA wide receiver instead of picking Stephen Hill from Georgia Tech. And then he went like five picks later. So then we had to trade our pick again. It was just, we were missing out on the players we needed. I think that we did good with filling the roster, but there's some things that we missed out. I'm hoping that these picks pan out.
I got a good cornerback though, man.
Well, he's good if he doesn't fuck up. And that's the thing, is that we're hoping that he doesn't fuck up.
You know, I don't know if you noticed though, but he went to Florida and he was an animal when he was there, man. He locked down some of the best receivers in the country. Locked them down, you know, so, you know, but that's just, you know, shout out Janoris Jenkins. Couldn't stay off the reefer. Could have left for Florida, you know, been the man, but, you know, it is what it is.
And see, that's the thing. It's not like he was stealing test answers or some shit like that only applies to college. You can't smoke weed in the NFL like that either. Exactly. So his problem didn't go away. It's just on a whole nother level. And St. Louis, as racist as the city is still really conservative. So I'm sure that, you know, one or two of these, any issue, they can be like, get the fuck out of here. St. Louis don't deal with problem athletes. We just don't. We don't build. So I don't know. I know Fisher has a penchant for them. You know, shout out to Pac-Man Jones. And maybe they can reel him in. But I'm really hoping that Jenkins is a steal of the draft, because cornerback, we need it. I think we drafted three this year. Because we had, dang. I think we had signed 10 last year, and all of them got injured. Dang. Like, yeah, so we needed cornerbacks. We picked three this year. We picked two running backs. I don't know how that's going to pan out. Somehow we passed on Perfect from Arizona State. I thought he would have been a good fit for our defense, but I don't know.
Did he ever get picked up?
He got picked up as a free agent. Not in the draft. He's a free agent signee to the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, okay. Wow. That was cool.
Yeah, of course. He gets the Hummer.
They were saying for a lot of players, it's better for them to not get drafted if you was going to go in the late rounds, like the 5s, 6s, and 7s. They was like, you know, because teams might talk to you before the draft and they might have something set up in case somebody don't pick you, and you know, with your agent and stuff, and you know, you can get a little bit more money. And so it was something, it was crazy like that, because it was like, sometimes you might not want to get drafted when it's late like this. And I was just like, oh, because it was like something about the money. But you know, NFL is a funny game. So quick question, RG3, are you buying the hype?
Yeah, because that's the dude I wanted. I really wanted, in a perfect world, we would have traded Bradford. We probably could have got a late round first and a third, or would at least got a solid second and a third for Bradford. I wanted to keep RG3, and so yeah, I'm definitely buying the hype.
Okay. Well, you know, I am not. One, because he's a Redskin. Two, you know, I'm not convinced. I'm really not. I mean, I see the highlights of RG3, the games I watched him in. You know, yes, offensive-wise, he was doing his thing. But some games I watched him in, he got shut down. And, you know, you can blow out the little crazy schools you're playing, that Texas Abilene Christian school. Yeah, you know, you blow them out, score 60 points, but, you know, you're playing somebody big. You know, he did have some big games. I can't take it away from him. The dude won the Heisman, but I'm just not buying the hype. You know, I'm one of the people, I'm hard-headed. You know, by week five, if he's doing his thing, you know, I admit that I was wrong. But as of day one, I'm not on the bandwagon. I'm not an RG3 fan.
Yeah, and I think that if he fails, it won't be because of his ability. It'll be because of the stupid-ass coaching out there. Because if you want to be completely honest with it, he's the same type of quarterback as a Donovan McNabb and as a Campbell, who didn't have success in Washington. So they picked the same dude. And they didn't. I don't think they put enough around him to really make him succeed. But I'm hoping for him, because I hate the Redskins. I'm hoping that he's able to pull it out.
Well,
who do you think from the draft was either? What was the biggest surprise for you of the draft?
The biggest surprise for me was, I will say, on the end of the first round, who was it? They picked the Minnesota Vikings. They picked some safety or somebody from Notre Dame. And, you know, and I was upset because I was just like, of all the corners in the nation, you pick this guy. It was a cornerback.
Yeah.
I said, of all the corners in the nation, you pick him and you don't pick Janoris Jenkins. But, you know, maybe it came down to the character issues or whatever. But, you know, I just, between that and Jacksonville taking a punter in the third round, you know, I really can't get past that, because you take a punter, and I was just like, is that the guy from LSU? They was like, no, he's from Cal. I was like, who? I mean,
yeah,
like,
that shit was crazy.
You know, like, who takes a punter in the third round? Like, that was so Jacksonville. You know, they got the dumbass pick of the draft for me in my eyes.
You know that the corner that Minnesota picked, I don't think he's gonna play corner. He ran the fastest 40. He ran like a 4.28 mm-hmm. 40. And he's like 6'3 or something like that. So we'll probably see him catching the ball. But I hear you. It's still a weird pick. And they need to help everywhere just like we did. So, I mean, they picked third in the fucking draft. We had the second pick. I think the what the fuck moment of the draft for me was Washington picking another quarterback when they went and picked up Cousins from Michigan State.
Oh, okay.
And that was, what was that, the fourth round pick or third round pick?
Yeah, it was up there. It was like fourth.
I think it was too. I think it was a fourth round pick, and I don't understand. I understand having your backups. I understand, you know, having your contingency plan. And RG3 got hurt a little bit. He's got, you know, issues, and they got line issues and all that shit. I get it. But you don't use a pick that high when you got that many holes on your team for a quarterback.
I mean, I guess now with the new bargaining agreement, like the money might be a little, you know, it ain't as much as it used to be. Like when Sam Bradford and all them boys got them $50 million. Yeah, you know, like Cam Newton, his was like $22 million. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I guess you could take that hit rather than, you know, them hits. You know, I guess they could take their chance with him and see what's going on. Because RG3 might not pan out.
This is true. But I'm thinking that my take on it was, after I had time to stop laughing at their ass, was that I think Cousins is the Matt Flynn effect for them. I think they're expecting him to do good when they put him in there, and then maybe get him for a few draft picks for him, and then keep it moving instead of just letting him sit. But either way, that's got to look funny for him. That's got to look funny for RG3. To know you're getting drafted as a backup out the gate, it's some bullshit. Like, if you're not following up Peyton Manning, you're following somebody who went to school the same time as you. He graduated with you, and you get drafted to be his backup, because there's no chance that he'll start unless RG3 is hurt. There's not a fucking shot.
So RG3 was a senior or a junior?
I think he was a senior. But either way, I mean, you know, it's not like you're drafting your successor. This nigga went to school with you. Y'all both 22 years old coming into the league or whatever. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, man. So who did Whedon go to?
Whedon is with the Browns. So they picked up T. Rich, and then they got Whedon with his old ass. So they got, you know, 7 years for him to really make something happen. That's pretty much it. I mean, he's 28. 7 years, he'll be 35, and it's over.
Yeah, that arm is going to go out soon.
It's pretty much over at that point. No one's going to want to sign you. You know, you get your contract. They might sign him to 5 years out the gate. Just be like, look, dog, make it or break it.
Yep, exactly.
And too bad for Colt McCoy's bitch ass. He's pretty much done at this point.
I mean, Colt McCoy revealed himself in the national championship game that year when he went out with the hurt arm.
Oh my god!
This was my thing with Colt McCoy. If you were truly hurt, I understand you trying to protect your draft status, but for your team and for your iconic status, go down swinging. At least attempt to come back and lead the team on the field. Throw a pass and be like, oh, look at him, he's cringing. Oh, he just can't do it. You would have went out a legend. But you quit and then you getting hit. Oh, I just had a dead arm, man. Then your dad come out saying, well, we thought it was best for him down the road that he don't play. Oh, okay, word. Oh, okay. So right then, I was done with Colt McCoy. Never gave him a shot. I don't care how many I don't care how many wins you had in college football. Don't care.
I gotta agree with you completely. That shit pretty much ruined it. I wanted part of me wanted us to pick damn near anybody but Bradford, to be quite honest. I really wanted us to pick pretty much anybody but Bradford to play quarterback. I think we could have used that pick somewhere else. But even when it came to Colt, I was like, I don't know if he's the goods. And basically, from what I've seen, now granted, he's in a situation where it's gonna be hard to succeed. Hillis went from a 1,100 yard rushing season to nothing, to being sick for about 10 games, and your wide receiver core has always been garbage anyway. It was,
In Hillis' defense, he was on the cover of Madden, so we knew that was going
to
happen.
This is true. So shout out to Megatron. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm taking him. If I have a number one or a top five pick in fantasy this year, I'm scared. I'm nervous if I'm taking Megatron this year. I'm nervous. It's like that. I have to factor that in. You know, also, the fact that I'm returning champion and I'm trying to defend my title, I have to look at my game totally differently than you. You know, you peasants. Wow. You know, excuse me. I mean, you other people. I'm sorry.
Wow, here we go. The shit's started already. The Madden curse is real, motherfuckers.
Yes, it is. It's real.
So. Y'all can act like it don't matter, but look at Hillis. Look at everybody else who's been on the cover. Look at Troy Polamalu. Went from being a 16-game player or a 15-game player. He missed like six games that season.
Exactly, man. I mean, it gets you. I don't care what they say, everybody. It gets you in some form or fashion, man. You either have a bad season or you're injured.
And usually they go hand in hand. So shout out to Megatron. I hope you beat the odds because I think you're a really good receiver. I still don't think you're the best in the league, but what does it matter what I think? Good luck. Exactly. But, like I was saying, I think Colt McCoy was in a situation where it's going to be hard for him to succeed. And I think it's the same way for Trent Richardson and Brandon Wheaton.
Yeah, man. I'm pulling for Trent because that old fogey used to play NFL running back Jim Brown.
Hated on him.
Oh my God, that was ridiculous, man. Jim Brown didn't have to do that.
Yeah, he basically, for those that didn't watch, he basically said that they asked him would he pick Trent Richardson with that third pick, and he said no. And what he said was that he's an Emmitt Smith type of back, which is, in my opinion, one of the best backs to play the game. He said he's an Emmitt Smith type back because he doesn't have speed and he doesn't have the moves, and he's not going to give you enough to make the team excel. I think that's complete bullshit.
Wow.
I think that's complete bullshit. Trent Richardson, number one, he's a running back that can pass block. And that's real shit. The fact that you can help protect the quarterback is major. Like that's part of the reason why most of these NFL teams have gone to a two-back system is because one of them niggas can run and catch and the other one can block. So the fact that he said that, I was like, "What?" But T-Rich can block, T-Rich can run. He only amassed what a couple thousand yards when he played at Alabama. Did he have like 1,000 under when he was playing backup too?
He was up when he was backing up Mark Ingram, he was killing him.
He's part of a two-back system that ended up with over 2,000 yards rushing. Like, I think the dude's the truth. I wanted the Rams to get him, so, shout out to T-Rich, for real. I really hope you do well in Cleveland. And
we all know Jim Brown played in an era where they didn't have helmets, so I'm pretty sure he took some dings to his head. So he need to sit his old ass down somewhere and go do some more gang truces or some shit, you know, or make another fucking movie, nigga. You know what I'm saying? You know, he said he's an Emmitt Smith style back. Well, Emmitt Smith and Trent Richardson went to the same high school. They're both from Pensacola. Maybe that's just something, you know, he grew up idolizing the guy. Who knows, man? You know, but it's not a bad thing to, you know, be an Emmitt Smith style running back. And then he got the most rushing yards in NFL history. You know, it's not a bad thing, you know, but, you know, like when people say, oh, he played like Jordan or, you know, like, I mean, what's wrong with that? If that's, you know, obviously he has the most, so that's the best. That's how it's done. You know,
there's no fucking downside to being compared to Emmitt Smith. I don't give a shit what nobody says. And the other thing I think about when we talk about, you know, Jim Brown and legends, and that's there's always the debate is comparing eras. I think the NFL is the one sport out of all of them where the eras actually matter. I think old NFL was terrible compared to today's NFL. The athletes are bigger, stronger, faster. The technology is different. Everything is different. So I think a mediocre player now would destroy the old NFL. That's just how I see it. I think there's exceptions Jerry Rice. I think Jerry Rice is the class of all the NFL. But
I don't consider that old NFL. I'm talking about like the NFL with like the pre-70s, 60s. You know, like, I'm say the 60s and back, man. I mean, well, maybe even a little bit of the 70s. Because the 70s had some pretty good players. But now, you're right. The average player now would, because if you take, like, a person like fucking Andre Iguodala. I mean, he's a good player these days. But put him back in another era, his same skill set now, he's fucking Bill Russell.
I don't know about that. That's what I was saying. I think the NFL is different. I think these players now in the NFL would destroy back then, but I don't think the basketball players would. I don't think baseball players would. I mean, you talk about – dude, they put this stat up on ESPN the other day. Magic Johnson has 30 playoff triple-doubles. 30.
Okay. Yeah, Magic – I mean, Magic has a lot of triple-doubles overall. That's what I'm saying. He just – he's a man. I mean, Magic was different. When a basketball – okay. I mean, well, NFL-wise, you put somebody like well, see, the defensive line, I'm wondering, defensive line players against – that would be a good battle. Today's defensive, you know, line versus the old school offensive line, I would love to see that, and vice versa.
Yeah, I think that
– you know, a new school offensive line against the old – I think the battle in the trenches would be closer than the skill position.
Completely agree. I completely agree.
Yeah, you know, I can see that. The trenches would be a good battle because that's just fucking toughness. You know what I'm saying? That ain't – you know – niggas was tough all around. You know, we had people in medieval ages that were fucking animals. So that would be good. But skill, as far as like quarterback, wide receivers, running back, there's no competition. You know, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so it's always interesting when we do that. But, you know, shout out to everybody who came up big in the draft. Who do you think was the biggest loser in the draft?
Biggest loser, I'm going to stick with, biggest loser. Question.
It was a lot of moments that made me say what the fuck. I don't really understand what the fuck the Seahawks were doing.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
Well, I mean, is this about Bruce Irving?
Well, it's not just Bruce Irving. It's just the picks that they had. Like,
oh yeah.
I don't understand what the hell they were doing, basically. It's pretty much it. I don't know. I think the players that they picked, every pick that they picked was a reach. I think they passed on a lot of talent. And I don't think they helped their franchise any, which is fine for me because they're in our division. So I could give a fuck less. I just, I think they're the biggest losers.
How did the Vikings do, man? I think I think I was pissed at the Vikings, I believe.
Well, they got the tackle that they needed. They got the cornerback.
Oh, okay.
And I think later on in the draft, they picked like two or three receivers. I think they did decent, but they're still in the tougher division. So I think they needed more of an impact player. For that division that they're in, but, you know, it is what it is. It was a good draft. I still am not a fan of the Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday morning shit. I liked Saturday draft.
Well, I mean, that you like Saturday draft day where you don't get nothing done, where you sit there from noon to midnight and then do it again Sunday, noon to midnight. I mean, that was just, you know.
Yes.
I like the Thursday, Friday, Saturday thing. I like that. It's pretty cool, man. Because just think about it. If you was a guy that thought you was going to go in the first round, you show up Thursday, don't get drafted. Okay, cool. I'm going to go Friday. Boom. Still don't get drafted. Well, you know, Saturday, do they still even call people there Saturday?
Yeah. I mean, they went all out. This is a full draft. Like, even in the sixth and seventh rounds, they still were showing people at home and shit. Like, I just think it's drawn out. I would be fine with three rounds on the first day and the last four rounds on the next day. I'd be happy with that. I'm not used, because I think it was just the first round, right, on Thursday.
Yeah, first round Thursday. I think it was second and third on Friday. And then the fourth, fifth, you know, the rest of it was on Saturday.
At the end of Thursday, I just felt like I needed more draft. That's like, pretty much it. I just felt like, okay, there should be more.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Like, whoa, what's going on? Commercial, just a long commercial. Like, what's going on?
I think because they did it, I want to say they finished in like the actual draft part. It was maybe 2 hours. The rest of it was, you know, the bullshit filler type shit.
Yeah.
At the end of the first round, I was like, okay, I need more. I need more. I need some more trades. I need another pick. I need to see what's going on. I just felt like we waited all that time and you only get to see your team pick once or twice if you're blessed. And then you roll out.
Yep, that was it.
So I don't know. Oh, that's the other thing. I didn't have it on the outline, but I want to talk about. Supposedly, they're talking about suspending the Pro Bowl for the NFL.
Oh, that's a good thing.
I think it's a brilliant thing. I think they should do a pass, punt, kick competition, though, like they used to do. You remember that shit during the offseason?
Oh, when they used to do, like, they race the fastest man and do that little stuff in the sand and stuff. Yeah, that
shit would be great.
The little flag football game. Yeah, people's getting hurt, man. I guess, you know, people's like, nah, I can't do that. That's that. I'm sure it's contract wise, but yeah, the, as far as the Pro Bowl, man, I can't remember the last time I watched one.
I can't either. I can't either. So even when they made the statement, I was like, oh, okay.
Oh yeah, exactly. I think it's more honor to be named as a Pro Bowler and not actually have to play in the game. And therefore, like they said, they're still going to give the people who have incentives in their contracts to make the Pro Bowl. They're still going to honor that. So, I mean, you could just name me like a, you know, I'm all pro and, you know, I don't have to play in the game. You know, then that way we have the honor, the best of the best and not who the fans wanted or, you know, people not playing in the game. And you end up with Andy Dalton, the Pro Bowler as a rookie. Like, really? You know what I'm saying? You know, Cam Newton deserved it, but not Andy Dalton. I'm going to be honest. Like, you're not a Pro Bowl quarterback. And like,
yeah,
so.
I personally don't think any of the All-Star games should be decided by fans because it's just a popularity contest. They're, I don't think exactly. it should be decided by the same people that do the Hall of Fame or whatever the fuck they do. Mm-hmm. Those people should be the ones voting. I don't think.
Players and coaches, yeah. Man. When they started letting the fans have a say-so in it, that's when the game got all messed up, man. I mean, you know, you complain about the game, but you allow the fans to have something to do with it. Like Spurrier Germ said, fans are stupid, man. You know?
You started seeing shit like Yao Ming make it 5 or 6 years in a row when he had 2 complete seasons under his belt.
I mean, didn't even play, but he's a leading vote getter. He's a starting in All-Star game.
Every
like,
time.
Not even playing.
And then
not even
Chris Bosh is putting up better numbers, but he's coming off the bench. It should just stop letting the fans vote on that bullshit. So I think it's a good look for football. And hopefully they figure it out and do the punt pass competition. Something that the fans will really show up for. They'd really enjoy seeing. And something that the players would have fun participating in. Because I'm not going to go out there and actually hit nobody and for what? This game don't mean shit. Not only that, it don't mean shit, but I just got kicked out of the playoffs. So now I got to show up and do this bullshit? Nah.
Exactly.
It's not the look at all. I'm ready. Once we get kicked off the playoffs, I'm ready to quit football. I'm not ready to come and play another game that's supposed to pretend to mean something. That's just stupid.
I mean, like I said, the darn arena to be half full. It's just like, what's the point of playing this game? You know, every NFL game you play is in front of a packed house, unless you play in Jacksonville. Right. And then, you know, so why? I mean, it's like it'd be like 5,000 people at the game. And I'm like, what's the point? You know, what is the point of that game? It sucks.
So shout out to the commish for actually doing something that people agree with. Because I didn't hear any outrage about this. They were just like, it's different from tradition. But I didn't see any outrage about them suspending. They're like, oh, all right, that's cool.
Oh, Fidel Goodell is buying himself some leverage to extend the season, man. That's all, man.
Hey, I'm with it. Hey, that's the only sport I'd actually like to see more games. I think all these other seasons could be shorter. Oh, I would love to see another 2 games in the NFL or even a D-League. If we could get an NFL D-League, I'd be happy.
I mean, I'm sure, I don't know why that's not in the making. I mean, it's probably in the making. You know what I'm saying? But it should be up and running. I mean, the NFL Europe crashed. I mean, if we had the NFL Europe like we had here, we'd be all right. I mean, you can do the same thing, you know, here in the United States. Put them in places where there is nothing but college teams. Put them in places like that. I mean, you know.
I think that's what really screwed up the NFL Europe joint was there wasn't any real affiliation to the teams like that. There was no – first of all, it wasn't here. That's a problem.
That was the problem. It wasn't here.
But you couldn't connect your team's players or your team's prospects with anybody because I think, like, each team was affiliate of, like, 4 other teams. So the Rhine Fire had, like, the NFC West players or something. Like, nobody wants to see that shit. Show me what my team is developing. Show me players from college that didn't get picked, that are not just sitting on a practice team, and you don't get to see them. Let's do the D-League. You know, give me a call, Goodell. We can make some shit happen. Pause.
Exactly.
So I think we B-Eazy's not here, so we're not going to talk about the wrestling shit. There was a big wrestling pay-per-view. We'll say that for next week when B-Eazy comes back, allegedly. We're going to go ahead and get off sports. We're going to talk about some regular shit, some shit that's in the news. And this goes, the first topic goes to the second topic. We're going to talk about this dentist. Here's the situation. Guy's dating his dentist, you know, and, he breaks up with her. A few days later, he decides that, you know, my teeth hurt and I need to go see my dentist and get this tooth pulled. He goes in to get this tooth pulled from his scorned ex, wakes up with a mouthful of gums. She pulled all his fucking teeth out. And I'm not talking about, you know, all the bad ones. This nigga woke up looking like grandma.
Oh my goodness.
Is that, would you go to jail? Is basically what I'm asking you. Would you, is it time to go to jail for that shit?
I mean, let's be honest. First of all, he needs a stupidity check. Church. Because why am I going to go to my ex-girlfriend's, my dentist? Like, I mean, then you go, oh, so you're going to shoot me up with a needle to sleep and you're going to take my tooth out. Okay, cool. I mean, I know I just broke up with you. Doesn't mean, yeah, I was cheating. Or, yeah, I told you, you know what I'm saying? You were just a jump off. Or, yeah, you know, first of all, you the dumb motherfucker for going to her. First of all, unless she was the only dentist in town. Then I can understand.
I couldn't understand.
But if that wasn't the only dentist. I mean, if your tooth hurting that bad, maybe it was hurting that bad, you know, and like when Tom Hanks was in Castaway, when that motherfucker took the ice skate to that tooth, because it just got to the point where he couldn't take it no more. And you know what I'm saying? So he went hardcore. God, dog, but it just made my send a chill down my spine right now. But just thinking about it. So you know, but. You the dumb person. But yeah, she does deserve to be charged because you just can't do that. You know, if he ain't put her hands on her, you know, she need her to have her license revoked. Yeah, we need to get her the fuck out of here. Snatch her license. You know, you can't do no shit like that. You fucking dentist. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, nah. You made some kind of crime of passion or, you know, you just can't make no decision like that just because, you know, like I said, one, he is a dumb motherfucker for going back. So maybe he kind of deserved it a little bit, but she deserved to be charged to the fullest extent of the law and have her license revoked.
And his new girl left him.
Of course, she can't do no teeth.
That's fucked. She fucked his life
and
up.
Then she left him because he was stupid. She was like, "You dummy, why would you go to?" I mean, that's the thing. Like your ex girlfriend was a dentist, so therefore she knew she had other dentist friends.
Yeah,
call one of those.
Yeah, call anybody go else. Shit, you can hop on your insurance and pick anybody else. You got a tooth that needs to get pulled, but you don't go to your ex, nigga. I don't even call and talk to no exes. Why would I go and let them do surgery? Your stupid ass.
So he might be up there with dumb motherfucker of the week with Amari Stoudemire. You know what I'm saying? He, you know, that guy. Wow.
Yeah, but I think Amari's could be, you know, Amari's might have been a split second reaction. Like, God damn it, he just swung. This nigga had a hurt tooth and got in the car and went over there and saw her and was like, yeah, this is my ex that I just broke up with, but I'm going to let you put me to sleep and I'm going to expect you just to take this one tooth out. That nigga's.
Okay. I can agree with that. I can agree with that.
So,
that was, you know, yeah, that was pretty dumb.
Staying on the topic of relationships, Think Like a Man is the number one movie in America. I did see a copy of the movie. For those of you who don't know, you've been living under a rock. Think Like a Man is a movie based on Steve Harvey's book, Think Like a Man, Act Like a Woman. And they turned it into a movie, and all the black actors ever in Hollywood are in it. And it's been doing numbers.
I mean, great cast. I mean, you know, excellent eye candies, you know, for the fellas. You know, I'm sure from what I've read, the ladies enjoyed, you know, the eye candy too. But as far as the movie, I mean, it's a great movie, man. I ain't gonna say great, but it's a good couple movie, you know, see it with your lady, you know, you're gonna have a good time, you're gonna laugh, you're gonna see, you know, it's a good movie, man. I see a lot of people hating on the movie because of Steve Harvey, you know, how their feelings about Steve Harvey, and you know how some people just against anything, and you know, and I'm just like, it's a fucking movie, people, you know what I'm saying? Like, golly, but I mean, you don't know it. You might not go see other movies if you knew more about the person who whatever this movie was based on. Church. You know what I'm saying? So don't be like that because of Steve Harvey, man. I mean, like, dang, this is a black man putting out, you know, it's an adaptation. God damn. You know what I'm saying?
And like, not only that, fellas, if none of that shit matters to you, if you still want to hate Steve Harvey, let's just tell you who's in the movie for you to see. Megan Good,
yes.
Regina Hall, Taraji P. Henson, Gabrielle Union, Lala is in this motherfucking movie. Dude, there's everybody's in the fucking movie. Kelly, was it? Kerry Hilson's in it, and Kelly Rowland's in it.
Kerry Hilson. I mean, yeah, everybody's in this movie. I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, this It's a good movie, man. And then, like I said, the you know, as far as you know, the message in the movie, what it is, you know, the book, you know, you, like anything, you know, you see something on Oprah, you know, the ladies buy books and they read the book and they try to, you know, intertwine in their life somehow. You know, basically that's what the movie's not about. I'm not gonna give any spoilers, but you know, that's just, you know how ladies are. Not ladies, but people. You know, when the Da Vinci Code came out, everybody's reading Da Vinci Code. But some, you know, and so basically that's what kind of what it was. And you know, now I want to know, I'm not a single guy, you know, you're not a single guy, but for the single guys out there, I want to know, does this affect their lives? Like, has this movie came out, and are women really doing this 90-day rule? And is I want to, I mean, obviously, a lot of women are taking this seriously. I mean, now that the movie is out, I'm pretty sure the book sales have surged again, because actually the book came out a couple of years ago, I believe. You know what I'm saying? Because my wife received a copy, and, you know, like I was telling, it's all right. And, you know, but, you know, the person who got it obviously don't know my wife, because she's not a person that reads for leisure. So I ended up reading, you know, a couple chapters out of the book, you know, just because I like to read. But, you know, it's a crock of shit. You know, definitely pandering. You know, it's definitely pandering to a nice little area of people. And so, you know, I mean, it is what it is, but in the end, we got a good movie out the deal. And you know what I'm saying? It's a good movie. I don't know if ladies, if these, you know, tricks that Steve Harvey is teaching ladies in this book gonna actually work, because, you know, it's still a game. I mean, you know, you can hype a, you know, I'm not gonna become a married man. I want to talk, you know, people might hear this, but yeah, it's just like, I don't know how it is for the single guys. Easy. I've been out the game a long time, but I assume it's hard because everything's expensive now and clothes expensive. And, you know, if you're gonna be out in the scene, you know, you spend a lot of money to go out. So, all right, you know, drinks is $10. Right, you know, you're going from bar, you know, I'm pretty sure it's very expensive for a single guy. So, you know, shout out to all the single guys out there that's, you know, making it, you know,
making it rain on these.
I'm sorry,
bars.
I had to get out the game. Yeah, I'm sorry, I had to get out the game early, man. I found me a good one. I said, hey, I'd rather spend money on one, try to spend money on 1500 of them. Boy, I can't.
But at
do
the
it.
End of the day, isn't you that know? The important shit? Like, it doesn't matter how many rules you set up or standards or all these other things that you use to figure out who you want to be with. When you got somebody that mm-hmm. clicks, and when you got that chemistry, all that shit goes out the window.
Exactly, man. You know, you just want to make things work with this person. And so, you know, rules, all that, you know. I mean, it's certain rules I abide by. Like, did you have some rules that, you know, when you was single and dating, did you have some rules that you would stick by?
You know
by?
What? My first rule and the most important rule was that she had to be into me. And I could work with damn near everything else, to be honest. I wasn't – because I like women anyway. So to act like I had a set of rules and shit like that, I'm crazy about women. So I wasn't one that had all these different requirements. There was a time that I had, you know – one question I would ask them is how they felt about reparations, which would let me know what kind of brain they had. And, you know, if they say something stupid, I was like, I'm out. But 9 times out of 10, if you was into me, we had at least a conversation.
Okay.
What about you?
You know, well, me, I don't know. Well, you know, I had a couple rules, you know, like one, you know, when I was in my little younger days, when I was wild, you know, if a girl would let me lay with her, within a month, 2 weeks to a month, I wouldn't consider her girlfriend material.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So I just like, so if she, because I think like, well, you know, nah, if it was like 2 weeks, it was like about 2 weeks. If she let me hit with them 2 weeks, you know, knowing her, I'm like, nah, she can't be my girlfriend. And, you know, I never would, even if there was a good girl or whatever, I just wouldn't take her seriously. And then another rule I had was, this is also my crazy days, if she made me wait longer than 90 days, I wasn't going to mess with it no more. Cause I'd be like, nah, it's too much time.
So the 90 days was a sweet spot. So that's in the book. So you think that rule actually works?
I guess it did. Because, you know, because if a girl, if she made it 90 days, man, I'd be like, nah, man. And, you know, it was one girl that, you know, well, that I was just like, you know what? I mean, it was like 2 years. She strung me along for 2 years.
God damn. But,
yeah. But she was one of them, oh, you got to marry me to get in. And I was just like, come on, man. I'm 19 years old.
That's wild. So let's look at the rule. Let's look at some of the rules. And like I said, if you read the book already and you haven't, you know, seen the movie or whatever, we're not giving you spoilers, but this shit is from the book. You can Google this shit. So we all know about the 90-day rule. It says to make the ladies wait. And I know that I've got a few female friends that are single, and I've got one that just got married. You know, shout out to Kells. And the question, this topic comes up a lot. It came up with shit. It comes up with all of them, even the single, the ones that are still single, and the one that's married, is the sex thing, because women have been ingrained to think that if you give up the sex, just like Jerm said, if you give up the sex, the dude's not interested in you. Or, and at the same time, if a guy asks for sex, then he's not about shit. And my first statement to them, and I will say it to y'all too, is that men like sex. So let's not demonize the idea of having sex.
Yes.
If we're talking to you, we've at least thought about it, or we're interested in having sex with you. But that's not a crime. We're sexual beings. But it becomes a crime because women act like, oh, if you mention sex and you ain't about shit, and that ends up being an issue. And that's my only issue with the 90-day rule. I think that the time limit is relative to, you know, however y'all are feeling about each other. But just flat out saying no sex for 90 days, just because he doesn't want to wait for sex doesn't mean that he doesn't want to wait to be with you. And he might just be like, hey, you know what? If I'm waiting 90 days for your ass, then I'm probably getting it somewhere else.
Exactly.
It's just, you know, men like sex. So the 90-day rule for me, you know, the funny thing about it is that my longer relationships I've had have been on varying degrees of either waiting a long time or not waiting. It just depends on how I've been feel with that person.
You're right about that, man. You know, cause, I mean, me and myself, man, I wasn't in a lot of relationships. I had a lot of friends. You know, it wasn't defined as a relationship. We used to chill together, something like that. But, you know, I ain't have any real girlfriends like that. I maybe had two real girlfriends, and I married one of them, you know. So,
oh, damn, that's what's up there. Can't even hate on that shit.
Yeah.
The other thing, speaking of marriage, one of his other rules was that the woman, a woman that's dating someone that wants to be married, that isn't getting married, the problem is that she hasn't required that the man marry them. I think that's a real solid-ass rule. I don't know how you can hate on that.
I mean,
because men, you know, ladies believe what you want to, and guys will tell you anything. 9 times out of 10, dudes don't come out thinking about marriage. If you don't need us to marry you, you don't require us to marry you, we'll just keep going as boyfriend and girlfriend until the wheels fall off.
Exactly. Because I know my aunt had a boyfriend from like 1980, the early 80s. I'm talking about at least 85. It might have been about 85 to like 2008, 2009, or 2010 or some shit like that. Yes, boyfriend and girlfriend. Man.
God damn.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, she never make that requirement that he marry her. She wanted to. It was in the air, but I mean, you know, hey, he wasn't gonna do it. You know what I'm saying? He done went, and you know, it was weird. They ain't live together. He still had his house, she had her house, but he was there like at her house like 5 days out the week. But you know, it just went, and he went gonna get married, man.
God damn. You know? So I think that rule is pretty solid. And I tell variations of that rule to all my female friends, because I tend to be the one that they come to talk about all this shit. And they're like, what am I doing wrong? Or what's the problem? Or what's his issue? And I'm like, everything that you're saying has to do with how he's treating you. You need to tell him how you want to be treated. We're not fucking scientists, man. Men are stupid. And so,
yes, exactly.
if there's something that you need for us to do, you need to fucking tell us.
Tell us. I tell my wife that all the time, man. I was like, look, I mean, you see, I was sitting here, you know, something was wrong. Why ain't you? Dog, I don't look at the world now and know that.
You got to tell us what the fuck you want. And that includes the bedroom. One of my homegirls was telling me that a new dude that she was dating, you know, they got down and she wasn't feeling it. Like, she still liked him a lot, but the sex didn't meet her expectations. And I was like, so what are you going to do? And she's like, I don't know. And she was all troubled. I said, why don't you just tell him what the fuck you like? Well, I mean, is he going to be open for that? And his ego? I said, okay, well, if he likes you, there's not an ego issue here. You're having a conversation. And if he runs screaming because you're telling him shit, you're trying to help him out. So fuck that dude. Exactly. You gotta tell us what you need.
Exactly. And like, you know, and they say, you know, act like a woman, think like a man. Okay, man, if we walk into a room, ladies, and we see that you're upset, we're not going to do anything to get you further upset. So we're not going to say anything. You know, the worst thing for us in our minds is saying anything. Like, if you upset, like, oh, okay, how you doing? Oh, okay, I see you upset. I'm going to give you a space. I'm going to leave you alone.
Right.
The woman's going to come to you. Why ain't you sitting there saying to me? Why ain't you? You was mad. I mean, I just left you alone. I mean, that's just how I am, because I'm, you know, I don't like conflict. If I got to live with you 24 hours a day, you know, it's best that it's not beef in the air. You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't going nowhere, you ain't going nowhere, so we need to work this out.
And I think that's something that women don't seem to realize, is that the number one killer for men in relationships, even single men, if you're dating somebody, is drama. Niggas don't like drama. We hate drama. No. So when y'all doing all these little stupid ass tests to try and get us mad, you're going to fuck around and find yourself single, because we don't like drama. If there's a problem, we'll fix it. But if you just bringing up bullshit and causing situations that don't need to be caused, we out. Niggas do not like drama.
Or just, you know, like, if you want attention, there's no need to act out. Just say, hey, you need to come over and give me some attention. Okay, word. You ain't got to sit there and cause a fight for us to argue, get all emotional, and then just, that's all I wanted. Why do y'all do that, women? Like, really?
And that actually leads to one of his other rules, was that you need to make men feel like providers. You need to allow us to feel like providers. And that goes right along with the attention thing. If you can allow us to feel like we matter, then we'll fucking act like we matter. It's pretty simple.
Exactly. You know, I mean, but you know, you're right, because that's a good feeling when you know that, you know, you mean. Because, like, one, I know my wife, you know, she can make it without me on like, you know, just on a income level, you know, without me, you know, she still make it, you know, ain't gonna, like, she need me around here, but she needs me on a physical and, you know, mental level, because we're a team. Exactly. You know, we've been together so long, and, you know, and, you know, even though, you know, she makes more money than I do, she still makes me feel like the man, you know, a man rather, not the man. You know, she is, like, certain decisions, you know, even though it's she's spending the bulk of her money, she still, you know, asks me what I think, you know, I mean, you know, that's good, you know, even though I'm not the breadwinner, you know, I mean, I still, you know, she could wear the pants, she let me wear the
and
pants.
And I think, you know, that's real important. You hit the nail on the head with that shit, is that women, you have to allow, and that's the submissive woman part. It's not about doing what the fuck he says. Being in a relationship is about, yeah, it's not about 50-50. It's about each of you doing 100%, and you doing the shit that you need to do to make the shit work as a team. So, ladies, you have to allow us to be the providers. If that's what, you know, of course, that's going to be based on your attitudes and personalities. Some men just don't want to lead, and that's fine, but they're going to still want to be a provider for you in some kind of way, because if you're not providing shit, who wants to be around? And that's basic principles of shit. Even men and women, you know, even if the man is dominating a relationship, if the woman doesn't feel like she's needed and she's not adding anything to the relationship, she's going to fucking leave too. So that's basic shit. I could go through all these. I'm not going to go through all of them. But another thing that I saw in here that I think was important was that he said that women need to relax their standards. How do you feel about that in general?
Well, I don't. Now, what does he mean by relax their standards? Now, I know there's some women out there that say, you know, they feel like I make 80 grand. I need a man to make at least 80 grand. I have a Beamer. He has to have at least a Mercedes. I have my own house. He should have his own house. I'm in the country club. He has, you know, if it's one of those type, then yes, you need to relax your standards. But as far as, I mean, everybody need to have standards. I mean, that's one thing. You know, just because, you know, don't, you know, that guy that doesn't have a job, but everything else is right about him, but he just can't keep a job, he might not be right for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe that might be one standard you don't need to drop. Like, yeah, you can have ambition, but if you just, like, you know, like, you know what I mean, man.
Yeah, and that's basically what he was saying. In the movie, the way it was explained is that it was a successful chick, and she was basically saying that the person that she wanted to be with was going to be successful. And that was a requirement. And I guess I don't see nothing wrong with that. I feel like, personally, love, if you're looking for love in a relationship, I think love is an irrational emotion, and you can't base it on black and white shit. I think it's okay to have basic standards, like, you know, you can't be a thief, you can't be a child molester, you can't be a felon. I think that's real basic. I think everything else you can work around. So if your standards are realistic in that sense, I don't have a problem with it. But the extra shit, like, you have to have a Mercedes Benz, or you have to have a $100,000 job, or you have to have, I think that's ridiculous, and that's why you're setting yourself up for failure. Exactly. Especially for a lot of chicks in Atlanta that was, you know, when they did that shit on CNN. I can't find a man. I'm a successful lady. They intimidated. No, men don't give a fuck about your career. They're intimidated by you acting like a man. Exactly. That's the real shit.
Exactly.
If you fucking catching flights every day and going to different cities and, you know, you coming home and taking care of everything, that's what they're intimidated by, because it doesn't seem like you need them. We don't give a fuck that you're making $300,000 on your job. That's good. That's great. But if you acting like a fucking dude, you got a problem.
Because
what the fuck are we there for?
If you... Yeah, you slighting me and stuff, like, you know, like, hey, like, you know, and then don't see, men, we have egos, and our egos bruise easily. Like, another man can't bruise our ego as hard as a woman can. A woman can say, "Little, oh my God," and then, like, let's say, for instance, your lady's making more than you, and then she brings it up constantly, and, you know, it's little stuff like that. Yeah, exactly, man. You know, them women right there, them the ones with problems,
and that's why they you do know, it. Be a man.
Yeah,
that's like the worst statement. Be a man. Be a fucking man.
Be a man. Ooh,
trying to get stolen with that shit.
Exactly. Shut up. What exactly is a man? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you know? Funny story. I was at the repast at for my grandma. Some lady asked me. She was like, he asked me, "Has my wife been getting out of line?" I was just like, "Huh?" I was like, "Nah, she all right." When she's like, "You know, I know she, if she got a line, you might have to lay hands on her sometime." I was just like, she an old lady.
Wow.
And I was just like, "Lady, we don't beat on women no more. That's not one of the rules in Steve Harvey book." You know
what I'm saying? Not at all. Who was that? Scheherazade Ali on In Living Color with a nice open hand smack in the mouth. You know, that was her rule. That was her book. The Guide to Loving a Black Woman with a Nice Open Hand Slap in the Mouth. But
oh my
God. Yeah, that's some old school shit. That's showing my age a little bit. But anyway, there's other rules, man. It's probably a book that I may check out. I don't read. You know, I'm kind of like Queen Germ. I don't really read like that. So I might get through part of the book and then be like, fuck it. I think that there's some validity to the things that he says. I know just from listening to my single friends and my friend, like I said, that just got married. A lot of things that women have issue with is how men treat them. A lot of this other shit doesn't really matter. It's about how the dude treats them and how they make them feel is what women tend to have the most issue with. Sex shit, they struggle with that just because it's a society thing. And they feel like if they sleep with the dude, then they're automatically hoes, and they don't know when it's the good time, and all that shit, that's regular. But it's if you're not treating a woman right, or if you're making her feel any other way but beautiful or special, then you got a problem on your hands. So, fellas, don't worry about the book. Don't worry about the shit you see in the movie. Treat the woman like she matters, and mean it. You know what I'm saying? Because they'll know when you're flaking out. You know, if she's special, have no problem letting her know she's special and treat her like she's special. But the rest of their shit...
Spend some time with your... Yeah, spend some time with your lady without your friends being involved.
That's
man.
Major.
You know, turn the Xbox off, man. You know, sit there and watch a movie with your lady, man. I mean, hey, listen, man.
You
know,
keep the Xbox on. You can watch the movie on the Xbox.
I mean, that's fine, man. But this is you know, hey, fellas, take time with these women, man. It'll make it easy on yourselves, man. I know y'all in this hip hop lifestyle, and you know y'all believe, you know, that women ain't shit, and you know the misogyny you kids grew up in, you know. But hey, man, you can learn something for us old fogies, man.
This is the question I got for you, and we have not talked about this before. I'm springing this question on you right now. That's actually perfect time.
Okay.
Because the question is. As a married man, you've been married how long now? 8 years?
Yes, sir.
How often do you talk to anybody that's not immediate family on the phone when you're at home with your wife?
That's not immediate family. Let's see. I talk to Easy. We probably talk every other day, you know. Say I talk to Slick Peter Virus, talk to my homeboy Mike. So I talk to a lot of people, man.
But do you like? Are we talking about 5 and 10 minute conversations? Or are we talking about long ass conversations? Like,
oh, well, I mean, you know, 15-20 minutes, man. You know, at the most, man. I ain't sit there on the phone call for like an hour. Now, my wife, you know, nah. I'm not a long phone call person.
Exactly, and I was telling somebody this the other day. That was like, you know, you home. How come we don't ever chat on the phone at 7 or 8 o'clock or something like that? Cause my wife home, and when my wife is home, that's her time. I don't, you know what I'm saying? We ain't got shit to talk about. First of all, I don't talk on the phone anyway. But second of all,
okay.
if you're calling me, and I'm at the crib with my wife, that's how I'm gonna answer the phone. What's up? I'm chilling with my wife. What's up? What you need? What we talking about? Other than that, you know, and I feel that same way about going out and shit like that. If I don't have it planned and it's not including my wife, then I'm probably not doing it if it's the time when she's going to be home. I feel like that's the time. Once you get married, that's just what you do is it's a unit type shit. You have your own time to do other shit, but when the unit is together, I don't really fuck around with other stuff.
Okay, that's what's up, man. You know, I mean, and that's a lot of that hurts a lot of marriages because, you know, especially when you get married young, you still want to do everything, you still want to go places, and you know, and you got to think about your partner. And marriage is all about compromise. You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't compromise, you know, like so, you gotta. You know, like my wife likes spend a lot of time. You know, cause you got to make that compromise. Like I like hanging with my friends. My wife likes spend a lot of time at home. Like she a house cat. You know, I like going out. But you know, for me to make my marriage work, I had to change those gears. You know, so I had to stay home. I had, you know, it's not like it was forcing me to stay home, but it was just like, you know,
I think that, right. That's it. You do what works for the relationship. Exactly. And I think that even when it comes to other stuff like that, when you get married, you don't have to lose your identity. And I think women do that the most is, you know, they fuck around and get in a relationship with somebody and then they stop calling their girlfriends and they stop, you know, chatting with their friends. And so now everything that he does, you feel like you got to do. And that's exactly. It ain't got to be like that. There's a happy medium. But I feel like there's certain time periods that I just have the respect. You know, if my wife comes home from a long day at work and I can see it on her face, I just cut my phone off because mm-hmm. I need to do the nurturing that I need to do. And I put my phone away, and that's what it is. And my brother get pissed at me, but where the fuck you was at? Your ringer was awful. I called you. Nah, it's just what I do now. You know that if you call me during the week and it's between, you know, fucking 5 to 8 o'clock at night or some shit like that, you're probably not going to get an answer. Hopefully nobody dies because I'm not answering the phone because I'm just having that idle chit-chat with the wife. That's the main thing about relationships and marriage is about routines and regularity. And it sounds boring. But that's really what makes a relationship work is that boring shit is what makes it work. At least that's my take.
That's marriage for you, man. Yeah, that's marriage for you. People understand, man. And if you're not, listen, man, if you're not about that life of monogamy and seeing yourself with one person that you really love and building something good with them, don't get married, man. Don't waste your time, man. Because, you know, you're messing up the numbers for us good people. Right? Just trying to keep the numbers high, man, because y'all people out there getting married on a whim, you know. Oh, I met somebody. We just got married. Yeah, I know him 13 minutes. What? You know, like, you know, so, you know, that's when people all talk about this gay marriage. I was like, y'all straight people don't take marriage seriously. Church. So why can't the gay people get married? You know, I mean, I understand reproduction issues and all that, but who cares? You know, everybody get divorced. So like I said, married people, y'all don't take it seriously, but until a gay person want to get married. You right. know what I'm saying? So,
and if you're one of those people that don't agree with marriage and shit, you know, more power. I'm not even hating on that. For me, it wasn't my thing. I've always been a relationship type dude. So if I was out of a relationship for a while, I was back in one as soon as possible. That's just I'm just that kind of cat. So if it's not for you, you know, be easy, which we probably should have had him on the show. We might have to bring it up next week since his ass is not. He's one of those people that doesn't want to get married. He doesn't agree with that kind of lifestyle. So we'll have to see what Be Easy thinks about this shit next week. But it's a good movie. Go check it out. We're going to get off of relationship shit. I know some of y'all are like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah, what happened to the fro kid? Where B's at with his ratchets? Right. Like, where is he at? Like,
yeah. So we're going to talk directly to the people. We got questions from the nation this week. Our first question is from I'm Rick James, bitch, a.k.a. NegroDamas93 on Twitter. His question is, who are your favorite one-hit wonders? And aside from Outkast, who are your favorite hip-hop groups and why? So you want favorite one-hit wonders? That's a hell of a question.
Yeah, one-hit wonder, my favorite one. One-hit wonder. I'm probably going to have to go in hip-hop, let's say, what was that guy name? The jumping out the window dude. Well, no, I can't. It's hard to say a favorite one hit wonder, man, because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
But just I'm gonna say recent. I'm just gonna say something recent because I'm sure it's something that I would think of in the '90s that I'm like, oh man, I love that shit. But I'm gonna go with Fushnikins, man.
Like, what hit? What did those? They had a couple hits. I feel like they had did? A couple with Shaq alone.
Okay, well, can't count them then.
I think it's real hard with hip hop because a lot of times they have like the follow up cut, so it's kind of hard to say that, you know, that they're a one hit wonder. But I feel like Fushnikins. I want to say that them cats even had a platinum album. I might be reaching. This is when we need to be easy.
But I mean, it's no thing. Remember, platinum back then.
This is true. This is true. But yes. I think their first album was F You, Don't Take It Personal. And that was my joint. I wore that joint out. But they had True Fushnik. They had Ring the Alarm. Ring the Alarm was big. And they had La Shmoo. So they're officially more than a one-hit wonder. They had three big songs on that one album. But that is a good callback. That's... I might listen to that album tonight.
And you have that?
Yes, I do. Don't judge me. That's a good call. I would probably say Conscious Daughters.
Conscious Daughters?
Yeah. You don't remember them at all?
I mean, maybe if you name a song.
Funky Expedition? Doom, 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 doom. You don't remember what was it, TCD and CMG? Them girls, you don't remember that at all? Kicking on the ride.
Nah.
What was it? I forget how the hook goes, but we're going to go on a funky expedition. Doom, 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 doom. You don't remember none of that shit? Man, there you go. That's why they went here, what I guess. Ear to the Street was the album. Conscious Daughters was the shit. That's a West Coast hip hop for you.
Oh, man.
And I know that whole album front to back, but
Oh, man.
I might be the only cat that knows that whole album running back. But yeah, when we get done with the Fruitcast, check out Something to Ride To, Funky Expedition. You'll know it once you hear it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's probably what it is. I probably know it once I
turn your mic up, bro. You're getting quiet on us.
Oh, is that better?
Nope.
Uh-oh. Is that better,
nope.
Sir? Uh-oh. We're dying out, man. Frocast, stay with us. I don't know what to do. Is it still messing?
Yeah, it's still real low.
Real low. Let's see. More volume. Is it low still?
Yeah.
I don't know what to say, man. I got my volume all the way up.
That's a mess. We just have to power through it, I guess.
Oh, yeah, let's just power through it.
The other question he asked was, aside from Outkast, who are your favorite hip-hop groups and why?
I mean, he said besides Outkast, I don't have a favorite group after that. I mean, you took my favorite, so I don't know what to say.
But the Roots count? Is that the Roots? Or is that more of a band?
Okay, well, I guess, because I guess you got a duo, then you got a group. Yeah. So, you know, for the sake of group, I'll say...
Outkast is a duo, so, I mean, you count the duos, too. You know, EPMD and...
Well, you know, I'm just going to, you know, for the sake of the argument, you know, we'll say group. I'm trying to get an argument. Rap group. Somebody I like. I don't know. I like a lot of single rappers, I guess. Wow. I don't know, man. That's a hard question to go with. It's all right.
Negro Domus, the Stump King Germ. For me, it's Nice and Smooth. It's not even, you know, as soon as I saw the question, I knew my answer because that's like my second favorite group of all time. Not because they were hella talented. I just like their music. I think they made a lot of enjoyable music. So it'd either be Nice and Smooth or.
Oh, man. Dang, that was a good choice.
Yeah, that's my pick. I think it'd be Nice and Smooth. I was going to say Tribe Called Quest, but I think. Tribe is almost on that Tupac level where a lot of their legend is bigger than it actually was. I think there's a lot of albums from Tribe Called Quest that people don't even know exist, and they don't know more than one song, but they put them up there because of when they came through. But that's just me. So yeah, I Nice and Smooth. Outkast is a hell of a group, though. I think that's the top group of all time, personally. Our next question from the nation came from Clay Davis. He said, can you think of the last mixtape or rapper that put out a mixtape that was better than their actual album? And if so, can a mixtape be classic material?
I'm going to say just somebody off the top of the dome. Fabulous. I mean, he's notorious for having better mixtapes than albums. I think he even went to the point of naming one of his albums a mixtape. I mean, one of his mixtapes as an album. So, you know, I'm sure if Beezy was here, he'd clean it all up. But who cares? He's not. So they make sure run the asylum, you know. So.
No, actually,
look back at 1903.
Well, the first guy. I mean, it was Bon Iver, but you know, I know who you're talking about.
Shout out to the Bon Iver conversation.
That was the greatest one. No, you're talking about the guy who lived in a cabin in the woods and had mono and wrote an album. I'm like, whoa, how did you know all this? Because, like, why do you know Wikipedia'd all this?
It up, but,
yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. Fabulous is a good one. Shit, I would say Drake. Because comeback season was a beast. And October's Very Own was still beast shit before he got released. They were better than both his albums, personally.
Yeah, I mean, Lil Wayne did drop No Ceilings. And then that's like one of the greatest mixtapes of all time.
No Ceiling and then The Drought. The Drought was one of his best albums, too.
So, you know. So, Wayne, I mean, it's a lot of people drop better mixtapes than their album.
Shit, Lil Kim is one.
Big Crit album has.
I'm sorry, Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj, to Beam Me Up, Scotty. But Big Crit, he hasn't dropped his album yet, but I'm sure it's not going to be better than some of his mixtapes. You know, so I'm just saying, there's a lot of people who've done that. I mean, one of the best gangster grills that ever came out was did you ever hear the Little Brother Gangster Grill?
You know what? I don't think I had that one. And I've got like 14 albums from them bastards. I don't think I have that one.
It's all right. Oh, man.
I didn't know they had. I don't think I even knew that they had a Gangsta Grills album until you said that.
Yes. Separate but Equal. That's the name.
Oh, wait. Then, yeah, I have that. I didn't know that was a Gangsta Grills drama. Oh,
you probably had a drama free
version. Yeah, I have that one, though. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at it on my music on my desktop. So, yeah, I didn't know that was theirs. I mean, that was a Gangsta Grills drama. My bad.
Yeah, so you got the drama free version. Okay. Cause I was about to say, man, that's just. Yeah, that was sick. But yeah, man, any more questions from the Fro Nation?
Those are the only questions from the Fro Nation. So you know what time it is. It's time for us to get into the real nigga quotes with my nigga King Germ.
No canes, no gates. Just gay. No canes, no gates. Just gay.
Misconception, though. Folk really think I'm stupid, hell. I like that too.
I'm gonna keep it real. Usually I keep it, you know, when you see me in the white tee, it's because, you know, that's just that hood in me. You know what I'm saying? I could have put on the nicest shirt, but fuck it.
Okay, well, the first thing, I don't care about no recognition and all that, I want some money. You know what I'm saying? Keep your recognition. I ain't like all these dudes who are up here tap dancing and bootlegging and square bopping. I'm about the money.
All right. So this week, bruh, we didn't get any emails. My question, the question is coming from me. This is my
question from Saul Wright.
You know, allegedly, you know, folks get real tough on the internet. You know, they start typing real tough and everybody's a thug on the internet. You know that shit. Nobody is passive. Everybody is 6'4", everybody's swole. So my question to you is, let's say you on a site and somebody says some shit out of pocket about your wife to your wife. It's the same message board. And they basically talking tough. What do you say? Do you chirp back at them and let them know that you're around? Do you take that shit to the streets and you know, let it escalate to something where y'all physically see each other? Or do you just ignore the shit?
Well, you know, it's all right. Good question. I was in a situation like that earlier, you know, in fantasy football season. You know, the guy, you know, my wife was in the fantasy league with us, and you know, a guy got a little, you know, he got kind of out of pocket. You know, at first, you know, when we trash talking, you know, my wife loved to trash talk, so you know, I let her hold her own when she trash talk. You know, because that's what she do. You know, but when you get disrespectful and you get out of line, then you know, I gotta step in. You know, because I mean, you know, you sitting there trash talking, that's fine, but when the insults turn to insults and you know you get disrespectful, then I gotta step in. You know, I'm stepping in. I'm like, hey, bro, you know, I talk to a man like that, bro. You know what I'm saying? Something like that, you know, because you know, niggas get online, they just, you know, they get their chest all pumped up and they get to typing on their keyboard all hard and, you know, they just, they love it. Cyber thuggery is at its highest point. But what they don't know is niggas is coming to see niggas these days. And you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it was just on the internet last week. That girl that got stomped at.
Oh, girl, you know, God. Shit on- oh.
Yes.
And yes. I hate to jump in on your segment, but that video was the most disturbing fight video I've ever seen.
I mean, she whooped that girl behind. Like, I mean, I'm sure whatever that girl did, she ain't doing it no more. I mean, I'm sure she threw. I said she probably. I said her next Facebook update or tweet was probably Hebrew 11:9. You know what I'm saying? Some darn damn some Bible quote telling some he who is peaceful shall live because doesn't retaliate to those that put shoot. I'm telling you, man, because she got her can handed to him. But yeah, man. And then you know these message boards on the internet, people get a lot. They get real personal, and I guess they feel like because it's the internet, they can say whatever they want to say to anybody, and there's no, you know, nothing you can do about it because, you know, I assume that you're millions of miles away, and I can call you a bitch-ass nigga, and you're a fucking faggot, and you know, you can suck my dick, and if, you know, I beat your ass, and, you know, I'm 6'4", I'm swole, or whatever, you know what I'm saying? That's what all you hear it all, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, people just, I don't know. It's like an alternate life, I think, people have on the internet. And, you know, but when those lines blur, you know, you get your ass whooped. And, you know, and that's just what happens. You know?
Do you think or have you had any internet beef that turned real shit? Or do you think that you would go that far with it?
Well, I think if the internet was prevalent as much as it was when we were younger, then of course, yeah. we all would have caught some internet beef. If we had Facebook when we was in high school, we all would have caught some internet beef. But with us being, you know, grown ass men, you know, that shit, you know, it shouldn't get to that point. But if it did, you know, then I probably had a lapse of judgment and, you know, got caught up with some bullshit because, you know, I'm not, you know, I think me personally, yeah, it probably could not now because I'm thinking. But I don't know. But yeah, I could see myself getting into some bullshit over something that happened on the internet. So yes, I would say yes. I could see myself getting in trouble off the internet. You know, because dumb shit happened. You get heated because I've been in conversations on Facebook where, you know, I done got really upset about shit. Like I had to cool the fuck off. Like these niggas have pissed me off. Like I'm talking about, man, if I would have saw that guy that day, yeah, we probably would have fought. Because it was a crazy thing. We was talking about the football player. He was going to college. He signed a letter to go to LSU or Alabama, but his mama wanted him to go to LSU. So she wasn't too happy about it. And, you know, they was, you know, the boys was giving her flack. They're talking some, look at her ghetto ass. She don't know no better. And she need to, you know, she just probably, she'll be around when the NBA money come. And, you know, he need to talk to his daddy, but we know he not around because, you know, little wow, stuff like man. That. They were just talking bad about. And these were black dudes. You know what I'm saying? You know, so I was just like, man, what? You know, how y'all know? Like, she got on TV acting like they acted just like a nigger. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they just, damn. You know, it's like, yo, what kind of niggas is y'all, man? Like, you know, I was like, y'all acting like she told him not to go to college to go sell drugs. She just told him to go to LSU. But what they didn't know was the backstory was his girlfriend was going to Alabama. So he wanted to go to Alabama to stay with his girlfriend. Ah. But his mama wanted him to go to LSU. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why she wasn't really feeling the situation.
But you know. Make judgment on the internet. So for all these, you know, most of our readers and listeners tend to be younger cats that are heavily involved yes. in the social media. What's your advice for these, you know, real niggas that get on the internet and somebody call them out their name on Twitter or, you know, say something that they deem disrespectful? Do they brush it off? Do they respond? What should they do?
Okay, it all depends on where that real nigga headed. Now, that real nigga might be because sometimes when real niggas get on the internet, them the niggas that get shit fucked up. them the niggas that, they forget that, you know, they take it to heart. And, you know, but being as an older nigga, you know, when you see shit like that, man, you know, you say what you say, you know, you check the nigga, you know, tell him like, hey, man, you know, you check the nigga. That's all you can do. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no sense in setting up a, you know, you come meet me at the mall, we're going to score up at 326 type right. shit. You know, ain't no need for all of that because, you know, what's the point? What's it going to prove? But, you know, at least you know that if you check a nigga, let him know that you try to get disrespectful, but I ain't let you. I mean, that's all you can do. I mean, thank God that the fro was pretty tame. You know what I'm saying? The niggas that come to our site, they ain't all wild. I mean, occasionally we have a threat, you know, nigga, you a stupid ass motherfucker, or I hate y'all bitch ass niggas, you know, shit like that. But it ain't like, you know, you go to some other, you know, like World Star Hip Hop, like the motherfuckers, and there's some sharks out there. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Like, going in on the comments, I'll be like, shit, they be going hard as hell.
That hurt. Yeah, if you post over there every day, you probably get your feelings hurt. You didn't got your feelings hurt, you know what I'm saying? Because it's pretty rough. You know, some tame websites. I mean, some tame forums and message boards and comments out there. But, you know, it's also some damn jungles. And, you know, luckily, Nappy Afro ain't a jungle because, you know, our readers are respectable human beings. And, you know, they follow the decorum. Except for Peabody, him posting all them fucking posts in the damn Christ. Forums. I swear to God, I don't even go to the forums no more, man. I mean, it pisses me off. Like, I mean, I asked him one time, he did it, and he wants me to ban him. I mean, he wants to be banned so he can say something about it. And, but I'm not going to ban him. I'm just going to slowly delete all his fucking posts, you know, whenever he posts up too fucking much. So, you know, just be on the lookout for that, Peabody. Yeah, I put it out there. You know.
As long as you don't delete the one that has that fight that we were just talking about earlier. Cause
No. I won't delete his quality posts, but I'm going to delete the little stupid posts he posts up there, man. If it, you know, and I said that, so I will deem what is stupid and what is not stupid per your post, Peabody.
There it is. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, Nappy Afro King Germ Be Easy site. So, you know, that's what it is. Sometimes you just got to shut the fuck up and abide by the rules that the people telling you. Just what it is. So we've had a hell of a show. We're going to wrap it up with the new favorite segment of the Frocast, the hit or hell nah. This was, don't start laughing already. This was coming directly from the inbox. Y'all send us all this music. We figured out a way to get it to you. The post didn't work, so now you listen to it on the Frocast to see what we go through as bootleg A&Rs, because people apparently think we got the power to put them on. So here it is.
I mean, I think we might can do a post with just like, you know.
And just and put just, them out there, know, just air them out?
Yeah, just them out. I mean, you know, because, I mean, hey. Somebody might like it, you know, but let's see what we got this week. Sorry, go ahead and do your intro. I'm sorry.
Nah, you good, man. Let's go ahead and kick it off, man. This is the hit of hell now, this week's contestant. Let's go ahead and get to the music. I'll give y'all the details after the song. And now it's time for your Frocast, NappyAfro.com newest game show, Hit or Hell No. All you have to do is listen to the track, and at the end of the Frocast, post your comment. Let us know your vote. Let us know if you think it's a hit or a hell no. And now, this week's candidate.
Music to stop the persecution.org.
We might have to split a mountain. Up the mountain. mountain we climbing. Up the mountain we make our way up. We might have to split a mountain. No matter what, no stopping us. Up the mountain we climbing. Up the mountain we make our way up. We might have to split a mountain. Very cold and this boat is in the road. If it's true that you hold, nothing else can oppose. Climbing up, feeling tired through the storm, through the fire. Keep your head to the sky and your soul moving higher. Stop and rest, even less. Every moment, every step, keep us climbing to the top. Losing footing if we stop. Up the vast mountain range, on the path we remain. One and all to the end. When it's over, we ascend. We ascend. When it's over, we ascend. Up the mountain, we climbing. Up the mountain, we make our way up. We might have to split a mountain. No matter what, no stopping us. Up the mountain, we climbing. Up the mountain, we make our way up. We might have to split a mountain. No matter what, no stopping us. Up the mountain we climbing. Up the mountain we make our way up. We might have to split a mountain. No matter what, no stopping us. Up the mountain we climbing. Up the mountain we make our way up. We might have to split a mountain.
Music to stop the persecution.org.
That's this week's contestant, everybody. Make sure you leave your comment and your vote. Let us know if you think it's a hit or a hell no. And now, back to the crew.
Okay, so yeah, what y'all just listened to is called Split a Mountain. This came to us from Rise, Ascend, and Direction. That is the names. That are the names. Those are the names of the two artists that sent us the song. Rise, Ascend, and Direction. I won't go into their whole background. You can go to their website. You heard it. You know, on the song Music Stop the Persecution.org. Music to Stop the Persecution.org. I'm gonna go ahead and let you start off, bro. What did you think of Split a Mountain by Rise, Ascend, and Direction?
When I first heard it, I couldn't believe it. I was like, this can't be real. I mean, it sounded, you know, I mean, it's not my type of music, obviously. I don't know if there's a market for this type of music out there, but, you know, I mean, God bless the 500 people that maybe like the song, but I definitely can't rock with it. I'm sorry. I mean, I can't. And the name is Rise and Direction. I mean, what are you, fucking Indians or some shit? Native Americans? What the fuck, man?
The duo, Rise and Ascend and Direction, Music to Stop the Persecution. If you go to the website, it gives you the full details of their mission. It's a non-profit corporation that they started, and they wanted to make music that reflects truthfulness, compassion, and all these kind of things that happens. They have their specific target that they're looking at. You have to go to the website because I'm not their PR person. But it's musictostopthepersecution.org for motherfuckers that want to know where to find this music. Yeah, when I heard it, my thought was that it was a parody. I thought it was a joke. So they actually sent us two songs. So then when I went and heard the second song, I was like, no, these cats are dead serious. Then I went to the website, and I was like, they really are serious.
I mean, I thought it was like it sounded like Akon-ish. Like, you know how Akon make that, like the African, you know that African, you know how African beats got all the same little backdrop beat.
Right.
And so I figured, I was like, is this something like, it sounded like some Akon would make, like a real cheesy knockoff Akon beat. And you know what I'm saying?
And you know what, this has been the problem with a lot of gospel hip hop. And a lot of conscious music is that once you start adding purpose, at some point quality leaves 9 times out of 10. So a lot of the gospel rap that you listen to, a lot of the Christian rap, a lot of the positive conscious music that you listen to basically sucks. It just doesn't sound good. And these songs that they sent us, to be quite honest, are two of the worst songs I've ever heard from a non-joking artist.
I mean, it's like they say they make music that just to make you feel. I mean, it just seems like I just don't get it. I don't get it. I'm sorry. The music is. I mean, first of all, I give anybody credit for making music because, you know, at least you made music. So I give you credit for doing that. But at some point in time, I mean, maybe, like I said, maybe somebody like it. I don't know. Can you call? Is this hip hop?
Well, allegedly. Yes. I mean, they're rapping.
Is it Christian rap? Would you think is it Christian rap?
I think
rap?
They have Christian tones. I mean, if you listen to what they're saying, they talk about, you know, clearing out paths and things like that. So it has some kind of Christian or at least some spiritual basis. And that's probably founded in the actual cause. You know, like I said, go to the website, you see the cause, you see all the stuff they're talking about, and that's great. But the song is audibly, it's horrible. And I don't know how anybody listened to it and said, like, if anybody listened to this and said it was good and they were around you, they're in your camp, they're lying, and they're not your friends. And if you go to the website, you remember the movie with Taye Diggs and Mos Def? I can't think of it. I think it was Brown Sugar was the name of the movie. And they had them cats Ren and 10. These niggas remind me of Ren and 10.
I mean, they're like a bootleg version of the Foreign Exchange, man.
Don't do that. Nah.
I mean, like a bad cover band of Foreign Exchange.
Don't do that. This is
like this is
a terrible.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just like, you know, I don't know.
And we try not terrible. To do this and slander people, but you sent it in for us to talk about. So giving y'all feedback, we both think the song is terrible and we don't think that there's any talent being executed. We don't like the track. We don't like the lyrics. We don't like the rapping / singing style. We don't like it.
Yeah, I'm not trying to shit on anybody, but I'm saying y'all send us this music in, ask us to review your album or your mixtape or post it on your site. But then listen to this shit. Like, listen to this shit. You know what I mean? I can't just go and send, you know, somebody... you know, like, hey, y'all want to invest a million, CBS or somebody, y'all want to invest $1 million in our Frocast? And you know what I'm saying? We just sit here just rambling. No, and that's what y'all doing to us, man. So stop it. Send us some quality music, people. Please, people, I'm begging you. If your shit is hot, send it to me. And this I know if your shit is hot. You got to put in the title, My Shit Is Hot.
Fail.
And so whoever sent us music in this week and put My Shit Is Hot in the fucking subject line, you're going to be on the Frocast next week to be in the Hit of Hell Nah. That's how you're going to get on the Hit of Hell Nah this week. So we're going to know if anybody listening, if you put My Shit Is Hot in the subject line, you will be on the Frocast next week. Just saying.
And not only that, y'all, for the people that are sending us music, if you're not, you know, if you're using the contact thing that just doesn't let you put too much information in there, or you're sending us an actual email, here's some things that you might want to consider if you're doing any kind of project. This doesn't just relate to music. This relates to damn near anything else. If you're going to give somebody a sample of what you do, there needs to be a full project of what the fuck you do, at least soon to follow or somewhere that they can reference. I don't want to hear about you working on a mixtape that's going to drop in 2014, but here's a single. That doesn't work for me. Because now you're going to give us a single, we put it on here, we like it, and now we got to wait 2 years to hear something else from you. try and be complete with your shit. If you send us YouTube links, make sure you send us the full fucking link. I can't tell you how many times we click on a YouTube link and the video doesn't exist anymore. Because the shit was invalid. Exactly. Like, this is basic shit. And you're trying to put your stuff out there. Don't come out, if you're an artist that has 8 followers on Twitter, don't lead in with your song that you're giving us saying that the long-awaited debut album. No, it's not. No one's been waiting for it but you. this is shit that we actually get in the inbox. It's people trying to build themselves up to be bigger than they are. If you just submit some good music, somebody will hear it.
Exactly.
Somebody will hear it. The people that need all the extra hype and do all the extra talking, they're probably not good. So present your stuff to us. Present your, present your music to us like you give a shit. Like it's an actual project you care about. And when you send that shit in, have some confidence. Don't send us shit like we just listened to. I think that song is horrible. It's horrible. No one else could have listened to that. And that's horrible.
Another thing, don't send me an email that you didn't attach to 80 other email people and then say, hey, I'm checking out your site. No, you're not, because you got me attached to just a chain. You know, I understand people. Listen, you have to promote your shit. I understand that. But it's a way you can go about promoting your shit that's not in a dickhead manner.
Right.
You know, so that's like I said, rappers are the new terrorists, man. I mean, because I swear to you, man, these guys are everywhere. Hey, man, they hit you on Twitter. Check out my new video, man. It's popping. It's the shit. You know, da 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 da. Hey, man, come on, man. Stop.
No, it's not. It's just not good, man. A lot of you cats up there that are doing music, I'm not hating on you doing music. I think you do whatever the fuck you feel like you can do. If you got a desire to do it, that's fine. But when you present it, at least present it to people that are able to be honest. You know what I'm saying? If you're not sure how the track's going to sound, go to an open mic and perform that shit somewhere and see how the crowd reacts. Slide it to some motherfuckers you don't know on one of these zillion message boards. But don't send it to us and say, listen to it, you know, it's hot, check it out. And especially don't send us a track that you want us to check out, but it'd be a CD that we got to pay for. Because if you send it to me to check out, but I got to pay for it to hear it, I'm not checking out shit.
It's all right. Go to the Nappy Afro Facebook page. Right. Some dude posted a video up there. I want you to check him out, man. You might like him, man. You know,
that sounds like a setup.
No, it's not a setup. No, for real. It's pretty good music. I watched the video. I really liked it. You know what I'm saying? He's like the only person posting video up there. So, you know, it ain't be hard to find. So, we do got a Facebook page, people. And, you know, so, you know, hit us up on there. Like us on Facebook for the 500 million people that's on Facebook. I don't know why the Fro page only, we ain't up to 500 yet, but we turning, we getting there, man.
We'll get it together, man. And that's, you know what, you said that about the video. I want to make sure we shout this out before we, you know, sign off for the night. Just because this guy posted a video and we're talking about it doesn't mean bomb our wall with your videos. We've been real fortunate to not have to look at a zillion ads when we go to the Facebook page. It's a good way to put your shit out there. But hopefully if you put your video up and we don't delete it, because, you know, we're not a billboard. If you put your shit up there and we don't delete it, somebody will see it. Somebody will comment on it. You'll get actual feedback. We encourage that a little bit. But if you know, DJ Who the Fuck is lighting up the wall with 36 videos, we're going to block your ass.
Yep. You're out of there. Just as though
you get out of here. Get out of here. So, yeah. Exactly. That's, hit a hell no. I'm saying hell no.
Hell no.
Sorry, guys. You know, but like I said, you can check it out. You can check out their website. I'm going to even shout it out again because I want y'all to be clear that I'm not hating. Music to stop the persecution.
You just don't like the music.
Yeah, I don't like the music at all.
I'm pretty sure what you guys are doing is great for the community. I'm pretty sure that. But I just think the time that you are taking to make the music, no. Do something else with that. That's all I'm saying, man. But, I mean, like I said, that's just me. I'm one guy. Just because I don't like it don't mean Joe Schmo over there and, you know, across the hallway doesn't like it or somebody. You know, I'm pretty sure somebody in Sweden like it. I mean, it's just, like I said, the guys from Sweden. You know, one guy's from New York, so, you know, somebody out there
like it, but it ain't either one of us. I don't like it either. And really, don't get mad. We don't mean shit. We're nobody. We're just some dudes that talk about hip-hop and do reviews and do a little podcast every week. We don't really matter to the bottom line. So it is what it is, man. This has been Frocast number 27. You got any shout-outs, bro, before we sign off?
Shout out to all my Twitter heads. You know, my Twitter boo, he gets it done. Let's see, my boy Eldroy Julius, Eleonora Batis, Ann Lane, Topaz Butterfly. Who else I'm shouting out? Who else keep it real with? My boy Short T318, Dub the Don. You know, Dub doing big things. We talked about that last week. You know, I'm a Twitter people, man. You know, shout out. Carolina Webb, my dog. You know, yeah, I'm done. All the Fro Nation. You know, squad. Y'all know what it is.
Of course. Definitely got to talk about Fro Nation squad. You know, big ups to all y'all that support us. Shout out to my boy Buddha over at You Know I Got Soul. That's on Twitter. Buddha_YKIGS. Cornell the Great, who is a... I'm going to have to start reading, like, the... Cornell the Great tweet of the week. That might be the new segment starting next week because that motherfucker's hilarious. Shout out to my boy Leon's Hall, The Darkest Night at Twitter. Shout out to Kate Bookman. Shout out to Geeked Up Clothing. Shout out to everybody who followed me on Twitter, man. Shout out to my boy Dewan P. Shout out to Nate P. Watson. Motherfucking Nate P. Watson. Shout out to everybody, man. We appreciate y'all for fucking with us at nappyafro.com. I'm your man, Saul Wright, a.k.a. Who Gives a Fuck. Sitting here with the homie King Germ. We're missing out on Be Easy. We're missing out on Dub. We'll catch y'all next time around. And, of course, shout out to the voice of Nappy Afro, Tracy May, in the building. We'll holler at y'all next week. Frocast 27, and we out.
Peace.
Nappyafro.com.